Health is the more important gift you have in life. Whatever money you have, without that, you are miserable. Right?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the next episode of Beyond Victory, where I join some of the most fascinating individuals in the world to discover some of the secrets of how they built their legacies. And in the previous episodes, I've been with Bernie Ecclestone and then also with Alejandro Agag. Please, at this point, subscribe. That would be cool so you can get more episodes in the future. And you can find the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, everywhere else where podcasts are listed, even on Spotify. Today, I'm here meeting Flavio Briatore, ex-boss of Renault F1, and of course, huge legacy in F1, and now a huge owner of hospitality, so restaurants, clubs, all the rest of it, resorts, and even a huge fashion empire. We know each other from back in our days in F1. We even had a negotiation at one time, top confidential, in a hotel room, which we'll come to later. Well, I invited Flavio to join the podcast because it's really quite an impressive legacy that he's built in so many different spaces in the world, not only focused on one sector. And I find that very fascinating. And we're here now at the moment in Flavio's villa in Monaco, and it's absolutely stunning. probably I've never seen a villa like this in Monaco. So welcome, Flavio. Thank you very much for joining.
Thank you, Nico.
And good to be here. And we just had a nice chat also with your son in the living room.
Yeah. In Italian.
In Italian, exactly. So here we're switching to English now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Usually we always speak Italian. And absolutely. I love speaking Italian also.
As well. Me too. Exactly.
Maybe, I would like to start with F1 really today. And in the beginnings where you came from the fashion industry and you came into F1 and so quickly you had so much success so quickly and you found Schumacher. Can you tell us about how you found Michael?
So Michael found us, found me. This was the beginning for me. I was working with Benetton Group in United States. And it was after 10 years, I was a little bit boring. I'd done everything with Benetton. We opened a 700 shop in America. And I tell Luciano I want a different challenge. And Luciano was thinking about, I had nothing for the moment, but let me know. 2 months later, he invited me to Australia, Adelaide, to see the Formula 1 Grand Prix. I never see a race in my life.
Which year?
This may be 88. Was the first time I see a race. I don't know anybody in Formula One, only Jackie Stewart, because Jackie was living in my building in New York. Okay. For this, I cross him all the time in the elevator. And Jackie was very famous in America because was doing all the advertising for Ford.
And he was an ABC Sports host.
He was
host,
ABC Sports host. Huge, enormous. He was a rock star, Jackie Stewart in America. Anyway, Luciano told me, we have a problem. We have a team. The team was called Toleman, no? It was a sponsor, basically, Benetton. But, we spend a lot of money. Commercially, it's zero. He told me, why you not take care for a few months to fixing employee, people, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, Luciano, I know nothing about Formula One. What do you mean? I remember in Adelaide, the team was the last one. Teo Fabi was a driver, no? Anyway, we come back in New York and talking. After Luciano said, give me a favor. I was making very good money with Benetton doing all the shopping in America. I have myself about 85, 90 shop.
Do you have shares in the American business yourself?
Yes, absolutely. And we have a lot of shop, because at the time nobody believed in Benetton. So but the business was so good with the cash flow of the shop, we opened another 1-3 shop, because we're doing leverage. It was unbelievable leverage we've done it. Anyway, I sold all my store to Benetton Group. I was free. And I moved.
You made a little bit of cash on that?
Yeah.
It was okay?
A small basket. was not huge, like Bernie, this was, you're talking about many years ago.
So I moved to London. It was the first time for me to UK, in England. I'd never been in England before. I arrived, it was horrible weather. You know, it is arriving in February, March, freezing cold weather. And the factory was in Whitney. So
it's a bit of a shock to go to Whitney for an Italian,
unbelievable,
no?
Unbelievable. I was sharing the apartment in London with Alessandro Benetton. Alessandro at the time was working, was at a stage with UBS, I believe, in London. And to go to Whitney, I have a driver, and but the driver never done this road. It takes us 5 hours. The computer was not working right now, you know. The Google, no Google Map, was nothing. 5 hours. Every time we ask information, these people were speaking this funny English. Nobody understand what we're talking about. Right, turn around, bing, bam, bam. So 5 hours. We arrived at a factory, for me, means something, you know. Was a 2-3 cabana, you know, like the old team in UK, and a disaster, cold, freezing. I met the manager was Peter Collins. And Peter Collins told me, you know, the Benetton Group tell me you'll be there to consultants of Mr. Benetton. But, you know, I don't need to be consultant because it's not my job. So I just want to see in the way the company is organized anyway. So after 5 days, we had the fight already with this guy. I called Luciano and told Luciano, you know what? If you want to stay here, I need the full power. If not, I go back in America because this is a joke in the way he's managing everything here. And Luciano said, but you don't know nothing to do with the car. The car is a product. You know, it's not a dealership you have the car. The car is just a product. One car, I understand, is 3,000 design. Meaning what you need doing is really a prototype. You're building a prototype and it'd be quick. Anyway, to the letter of the Luciano to be a new commercial and managing director, and I fired Peter Collins.
That was fast, huh?
Yeah.
5 days.
Bernie called me.
For the takeover.
Yeah, because Bernie called me because Peter called Bernie. You know, Bernie was always protect his friends, you know, and Peter was one of the friends of Bernie. He called me, tell me, what you do, you don't understand. They talk about, I don't understand, but what I understand, the team is the last one, is a completely mad organization here. After 1 week, you understand. Maybe I don't understand, my team, so my not understand is better what the people understand here in this fucking place. Finito. So I start like that. I call everybody because Peter Collins have a lot of followers, no, in the company. The people go to the pub drinking after the job. First, for me, the people go to the pub too early. 6 o'clock, it was too early. We move in the pub at 9:30, 10 o'clock immediately. Because it's easy. You have the pub, you have the chicken legs as well. So I talk with the people, I talk about, you know, maybe I don't know, but with everybody, we put the team together, and I don't think it's so difficult. You guys, you need to help me in the way, the part of the sport, but I know in the way we need to building something, a product, okay? And we start like that. And after we have the driver, we need to find the driver as well, because we have Alessandro Nannini, and Thierry Boutsen, my Boutsen was moving to another one team, no? And what I done, I talked with my people about who the driver available. And I have a list of 10 drivers, now I don't remember. I remember only one was Nelson Piquet, because he was free from Camel. Every fight, it is, was taken out of the team, stuff like that, you know? And everybody tell me, this is free, and nobody want him. Because... So why? It's world champion. Talk about in this team, we don't have any body close to be a world champion. No, but the guy is not good. The attitude is not good. This is not good. This is not good.
Sounds a bit like Fernando now, if I may say.
Exactly. Stuff like that. No, completely different because, Piquet was the devil for the team. After 1 week, I have a meeting with Piquet in Spa. I sign him. I called the man or the engineer, talking about, you know, we had the driver. Oh, who's the driver? So Nelson Piquet. Oh. And it was fantastic for us because it was the first time we have somebody in the team understand what's going on about driving, because Nelson was a super driver, you know, have a motivation again. After that, we're looking always for the driver. But the driver, you know, at the time was difficult to have a good driver to drive in for Benetton because we are a t-shirt maker. Nobody believe we are serious, you know. at one point we have three or four names. My idea was simple. Any old driver or famous driver never enjoying us. First, I don't had the money to pay. Second one was no sexy driving Benetton. You have Ferrari, you have McLaren, you have Brahma, blah, blah, blah. In Formula One, in my 25 years, I go along with everybody. Sometimes you have a discussion, you know, from sometimes with Frank Williams, but after that we're matching all the time. Only one guy I never matched was Ron Dennis. Me and Ron Dennis was really, it was impossible for me standing next to him, honestly. No, it's nothing wrong. It's just a question of the feeling, no? You have the feeling. So, and at the time, I call Ayrton and talk Ayrton. Maybe I have a sponsor pay you this kind of money. That's not true. I want to just understand. This guy see me in London, you know? And he tell me, impossible, tell me, whatever money, I'm not driving a Benetton car. At the time, Benetton was not bad, you know, because already we won a race with Piquet. We are in the first four, you know, fighting with Jordan. We are in this kind of position.
So can I just stop there? So I think one interesting message there was always jump ahead, make yourself bigger than you are.
Absolutely.
And then try and figure it out afterwards if
Absolutely.
It works out.
Later.
That's
later.
A good strategy.
And I tell you, my strategy was like this. You know what I done? I said, when I take John Barnard, you remember the engineer, I had nothing to sell. Because of the team, the driver at the time was no fantastic, and basically it was nothing. Every time I go see the sponsor, I take John Barna with me. You know, John Barna was heated to talking about commercial. He was talking about clutch and clutch engine and this and that and chassis. When the sponsor is not interesting at all. You know, the sponsor was interested about the sponsor. This was the first time we started involved the fashion magazine. My idea was simple, you know, Autosport, Autosprint is only the mechanic reading this kind of magazine, you know. If you want to export the brand to Benetton in Formula One, we need that, the fashion magazine. Have you done the cover of the Vogue with myself and Naomi Campbell, all the team? And after that, everybody started looking at us in a different way. In the beginning, the mechanic was so upset with me, you know, because the garage, the model and the photograph and this and that, you know. And I talk about guys, relax, you know, 15 minutes later, different, you know, we are not racing to win. We are racing just to be in the middle, you know, nothing changed. But for me, it was important to have exposure to attracting sponsor because we believe we are different, you know. And this was working very well because we have a lot of the sponsorship. So now we are having Schumacher. Schumi was one of the three or four drivers I have in the list. It was Wendlinger, was Frentzen, was all German at the time, you know.
And who makes this list for you? By that time, you could see it yourself?
Yeah, no, at the time I was there already 2 years. In the
you
team.
Knew
yeah, sure,
which
no.
drivers?
I call people, I call journalists, I call these. People go see the Group C, etc., etc. And we had the list. You know, I had my list. And Schumacher, I was fascinated by the name, you know, because I'm crazy about football, and Schumacher was a keeper, goalkeeper from a German
of course.
Team.
Yeah.
You remember?
Yeah.
And, you know, this was, I told him, one name like this one day be famous again, like, I had no clue. I found out at one point when Gachot had the accident in the taxi in London. Eddie Jordan announced the driver Schumacher. I told him, look, this is the driver. I want to be with us. I thought, no, you know, he's too young. He's a Group C, different car. I thought, but if somebody's good driving a different car, why is not good for Formula One? You know, the engineering. Too young. Because at the time, the average of the driver was around 30, 28, 20. Too young. Too non impossible. We go to Spa. In qualifying, Michael done very well. And after the race, he stopped after two lap, three lap. You know, I have the problem with the car. I call Willy Weber immediately. I tell Willy to come and see me in London next day. And next day we signed the agreement with Schumi. Was a big drama with Eddie Jordan. Because Eddie Jordan believed have the contract with Schumi. But Eddie Jordan at the time was very greedy, you know. Schumi he go to Jordan with the sponsor. You don't have the sponsor, Michael. I remember it was a sweet company. I don't remember now the name. Tic Tac, you know?
Yeah.
And basically it was fired. The deal was fired because Michael didn't arrive like Wednesday at midnight with the sponsor. If have the seat. If not, I have no seat. Talk about to get there. Forget the sponsor. You're driving for us. And the first race with us was in Monza.
So you say there was no contract with Eddie anyways?
No.
You got the job done.
Eddie done the injunction. I remember we arrived in Monza with the big drama. The garage was sealed by the authority.
because of Eddie?
Because of Eddie. And at the time, I want to put Michael replacing Moreno. Okay, and Moreno, I have a kind of agreement with Moreno because I tell Moreno, you know, I know that next year you're out anyway. I pay you all this year. I give you a big bonus. At the time, the bonus was quite important. But Moreno tell me, I'm not sure about that. You know, it was a big mess. But I was so determined to put Michael Schumi in the car. I fighting with Piquet. Because I fired Moreno, Piquet was Brazilian, and Moreno Brazilian. A big discussion with Nelson. And Nelson I was very close to swap in with Zanardi, because Zanardi at the time was our test driver. Okay? So Zanardi was in Monza. So Nelson, if you, do whatever you want. If you don't drive in the car, it's your right, you know, drive in the car. Zanardi, I think, is very happy to jump in the car and drive in the car. So in the end, we put Michael in the car because the George C was no contract, you know, nobody, you know, was. And Moreno was happy at one point to leave the seat to Michael Schumacher. Everything was happy. Everybody was happy. And immediately, Michael was incredibly quick. All my engineers coming to me in the motor home, telling me, boss, you're right, you know, this guy is fantastic. For me, so much, you know. I arrived in Formula 1 3 years. These people is 20 years. I don't catch it, you know. I don't know. And with this, I told you Luciano Benetton, and Luciano as well, because there was a lot of controversy in the newspaper about Schumacher, no? And Senna, at the time, was against me, because Moreno was Brazilian, no? All the Brazilian, all the family Brazilian. Normally, Ayrton and Nelson was the big enemies. But in this case, go together. So anyway, we have Michael Schumacher, we start. I told Luciano Benetton, I told him, this is only one way for us to win a championship, is somebody with talent growing with us. Luciano, I don't have the money to pay. At the time, you talk with Gerhard Berger or whatever, he's talking about 3-4 million or at the time. And Michael was amazing motivator to everybody, because immediately was quicker than Nelson. Immediately. And Willie was very, 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 very quick. This was the last year with Nelson. The following year we have Riccardo Patrese. And Riccardo, you remember, William was, especially in qualify, was super quick, you know. But with Mike was really no chance. And we understand at the time we have somebody really, really exceptional. And I talk with my people, talk about guys. Your guy building only an honest car. The difference is Michael. Michael made the difference for our guy, because the difference is 3 or 4 tenths. Michael having in the speed, you know. And this is when we start build up the team and we start winning the race. And the t-shirt maker, Benetton, to win a race against to the established motorsport hard like Ron Dennis and Frank Williams, Tom at the time, Tom Walkinshaw, et cetera, et cetera, was the demonstration Formula 1 was really close, if you want, world. But not because this close world, these people is the best engineering of the world, you know. It's lucky to be there in the right time, but it's space, you know. You see, there's a lot of space for anybody little bit different to do it. But I believe this was the approach. My approach was always like this. We compete with the best people in the world, but we want to be part of the competition, not be part of the race. We want to be winning. And always, Benetton, we are there to win it, to finish second, to finish third. And the difference was done really by Michael Schumacher.
And talking about Michael, then you said he's an incredible motivator. I've heard you also say that he's a massive gladiator. Is there anything else you can tell us about what makes him so special, apart from the natural talent, of course?
He never give up. You know, because I remember, first was impressive was the physical approach he had for himself.
First guy.
You know, you remember, Dan Prost was done in the beastly exercise. And I remember, you know, look like
karate, ballerina,
karate kids, you know, you're doing like that. You know, I mean, Michael arrived, and I go see one day, him was it was a table and was a big weight in the neck. He started pushing. What you doing? So for my neck, for the G, and this and that. 3-4 hours in the. This is the reason I've been in the gym immediately in the factory, because Michael was living basically waiting the apartment. Waiting was in the team every day. You know, every day was in the team, and we building a gym for him, a trainer, and all the engineers. I mean, we don't understand this guy. You know, we don't understand this guy. I remember once, maybe it was Spa. Michael win and Nigel was second. Nigel was, we didn't destroy. Michael, like, was not sweating at all. Was like, okay, let's do another one race, you know, immediately. So, I believe in teach all the driver in the way you need to be fit to drive in Formula One car. It's not, I believe this was a second one. What Michael was, unbelievable, never complaining. If the car have a problem, try fixing the problem. Some other one driver tell, the car is shit. Okay, fine. What can we do to help to not be a bad car, you know? Michael was there, talking with engineers, stay there, hour. Really make pressure to everybody, but motivate everybody in the right way, because everybody believed the guy was never, nobody in the team see the attitude of Michael before with any driver. It was a completely new game.
And your relationship with him in those years?
Super. We have a super relationship because, you know, I fighting for him all the time, you know, because before Willy was a driver, the night he was in Monza, we are in Villa d'Este, 9:30, that, because we don't know if the joystick away the seal or no, you know, I was with Bernie with Eddie. I tell him, you go to sleep, tomorrow you drive in the car, you just don't worry, you just go to sleep, you're not losing time here, you know. It was the first time I see Bernie drunk. Because Bernie was jumping from my couch to the couch of Eddie George, you know? Because me and Eddie were not talking. And in the end, Bernie was drunk. I think it was the first time I see Bernie drunk with red wine, you know, with confusing the wine, the glass of the red wine there, glass of the wine there. Anyway, this is the unbelievable. This was the Formula One, you know, was different, you know. This was 20 years ago. This what is the difference?
I have an SMS from Eddie Jordan yesterday, yeah? Who said Flavio had no idea whatsoever. He just wanted to keep Nelson, but Bernie insisted on Michael for German business. What is your view on that?
No. It's not true. No, it's not true because Bernie had no idea who was Michael Schumacher. This, what Bernie tried to do, no, I don't want to tell, plus it's wrong because I want to keep Nelson absolutely because he's Moreno. I think so Eddie maybe have a glass of the, was in the island with some beer because it's not true. I want to take away Nelson. I want to keep Nelson and show me. It was Moreno. No. Bernie and me in the negotiation with Eddie, but in the end, the contract of Eddie was no contract. This is the reason why the judge take away the seal of the garage. Because if Eddie have the contract, it was finito. Eddie have a letter of the intent between Eddie and Willie and Michael, a condition, Michael will bring €300,000 or stuff like that. Or £300,000 in Wednesday, whatever, with the sweet company. Never happened. Okay, we take after midnight at 3 o'clock. We done the deal and signed the agreement with Michael.
Did Mercedes also pay for a part of Michael's drive with Jordan?
Mercedes paid something. It is also Peter Sauber.
Yeah,
because at the time was Peter Sauber. It was Peter Sauber. It is paid something, but my boss, you know, is nobody was convinced about Michael. Ain't that good, but too young, too this, too that. I was so determinating. Everybody was a little bit, yes, maybe take it. I go inside. I tried to have the contract 3 o'clock. We signed the contract 3-4 o'clock in the morning. to make sure the contact with Eddie was fire. And after the fight with Moreno, because Moreno want to give up, but with Moreno we found agreement.
Then moving on, you did exactly the same thing again with Fernando. You saw the special talent.
The same movie, if you want, the same director, yeah. A different actor, yeah. But the same part, if you want, the same. When we take Renault, we take over Benetton after 3 or 4 years, you know. In the meantime, I have a very good experience in Formula One as well, because I take over the engine. I take a Renault factory, you know. And this was the big challenge for me, because we have 350 employees in France. And when we take over Renault, because Renault stopped, if you remember, no? We take over Renault, and I see what's the space, because everybody was talking about Honda, Ford. I take the plane, I fly to Tokyo, I go talk with Kawamoto. And Kawamoto was already retired, but was the legend of Honda, no? We have a lunch together in Tokyo, so tell me something. But Honda is back in Formula One. No, who tell you that? I don't know, everybody talk. Oh, rumor. I take the plane the same day. I arrive in the morning, I take the plane the night. I back and done the deal with Renault. And when I done the deal, everybody, including Benetton, because at the time Rocco Benetton take my place. Luciano buy me out with the 30% of the share I have. And Rocco have the deal with Ford. Williams have the deal with Honda. Honda have two team, Frank and Tom, working show. Everybody had the deal. And Bruno Michel, I take Bruno Michel with me to manage the part of the, because I met him in, before Lice, Bruno, no? So Bruno tell me, we don't have a client. Don't worry. It's 2 weeks. Frank called me one day. Then I pray, can I see you? Sure, Frank. Regarding what? I'm not team manager anymore. And Frank have one interview I remember at the time. I never be using a Renault engine in my life. There was nothing to talk with, Frank. You know, I Renault. It's called Supertech, but it's Renault. You know. Oh, but maybe I change the mind. I go see Frank, and there was no Honda, was no nothing. We signed the first agreement with Frank Williams. 2 days later, called me Luciano Benetton, not Rocco, Luciano, because Rocco tell me always he made the engine for sign and of course, what I don't remember. Luciano tell me, you know, you talk with Rocco have the deal. Anyway, we start have 3 or 4 team, and after we have Jacques Villeneuve team, Bar, just arrived in Formula One. So, and we done very well. We done super well.
But you took the risk of buying that whole company before knowing that you're going to get those teams?
Yeah. Sure.
But you felt it. You think it's going to be possible, of course.
I think so. I am completely crazy, or these people is crazy. I know these people. It was more normal. These people was crazy, not me. Because this you're talking about pure business. Yeah. You're not talking about fantasy. You're not talking about dreamer, you know? I mean, I know about the commercial space. And Renault was worried because I take over everything. I pay the salary. I don't pay for the company. I substituted myself to Renault Group. You know, it was a big responsibility. So Renault was worried as well. And after that, Consang, I remember, was very happy. Patrice Ford was happy. Everybody was happy. We done a good job. Super. We keep on the engineering. And one day, Renault want to come back. And this was the reason I tell Patrice Ford, so about, you know what? If one day you don't need to throw away the technology you have, you know, in the engine, you know, was pretty good. Give me the company to me. I make sure you don't put one penny inside of the company. I make sure I keep you the best engineer you have. I remotivate everybody Vieri. Vieri was changing completely. When I arrived, I fired Jean Jacques, he was the extremo boss there, you know, but with very old idea, you know, we are in commercial deal with the engine. We're not, and the engine was frozen at the time, you know, was nothing possible doing that. Anyway, super experience. And after that, we arrived with Renault, Mr. Schwarzer was the chairman, called me, tell me, we want to come back in Formula One with the car, with the engine, with everything. Renault never won a championship with a full package. If you're interested, we go together, we take back the Supertech. And we start negotiating. In the beginning, the people want to start with the white piece of paper, creating a new team. No way, I'm not interested, because it takes 10 years, you know, to do stuff like that. I tell, we need to buy some existing team. And we go to, we got the shopping list, was Jordan, was Benetton, because at the time after I left, the team was a little bit unlucky and shut down completely. Was a 3 or 4 team. Tom, it is, was there, you know, was a 3 or 4 team. And after I talk about, you know, for me, Benetton, because I know Benetton, I know my people, people love to have me back here. And I know the, everything in Benetton, you know, I mean, it's like, if we negotiate with Benetton, we bought, Renault bought the team, Benetton.
How much did it cost?
I don't remember. I think so, but at the time, the price of the team, I think so was close to 60 million, stuff like that. And there's the new factory. I had done the new factory before I left to go Supertech. Again, there we need for the driver. And I have a Fernando Alonso was already, I have a management of the team. Fernando Alonso was already signed with me. And at the time was in Minardi. I asked Minardi to take him in the team. I pay, I remember, to Minardi $1 million. Dollar.
When did you see that Fernando was so special? Where?
I talked with Minardi. Minardi, you know, the story of Minardi was quite funny because you remember Minardi was in bankruptcy. I take over Minardi.
Even that?
Yeah, sure.
I didn't remember.
No, you don't remember?
No.
Minardi was in bankruptcy. I take over Minardi. I said after 6 months, I fix him. I pay the debt. I put the agreement with the supplier or the creditor, and after 6 months, I sold Minardi to Rumi. But Minardi was still involved, you know. Minardi was a super friend of mine.
Did you make some money on that sale?
Yes.
A little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. A small bag.
Another small basket just, for, no, the, for the weight.
If you put a lot of small a lot baskets...
A lot of small baskets makes
make a
good,
big
huh?
basket. Yeah. So anyway, we done a... And the Minardi time, look, this guy is super. Because I put $1 million as well, you know. $1 million was a lot of money at the time. And immediately Minardi, at the time, still a super tech. When you take Renault, I have Jenson Button, okay? Was the hero, Jenson, a super driver, the hero of the British, okay? UK, Jenson Button. And, you know, my decision was tough to change Jenson to Fernando Alonso. I decided to, I was thinking one night, you know, everybody was, oh, why no wait for Fernando another 1 year, 2 years, you know, put in the Minardi. I mean, so my guys, we're losing time. This guy is somebody exceptional. Ah, but you never know. Okay, no, I know. I done it with Schumi. I promise you this, another one Schumi.
So this is alone, your decision?
Yeah, alone.
Alone?
Alone, completely. Renault, I tell you, when I tell Renault, Renault was really not funny because Renault had the big market in UK. And Spain was a little bit weak, you know, Renault. You know, I was in charge, I wonder if only the future tell me if I right or wrong, you know. And after with Jensen, we always normal relationship. But that, I explained to him, but I believe the guy is something different, you know. You guys, you're fantastic, but it's this and that and that. He put Fernando in the car. Immediately, was quicker than anybody. You know, we got tested. The first time we tested the car, I remember it was in Pembury. I don't know if you know where it's
I've
Pembury.
Tested once, yeah.
It was the worst place, you know, cold, windy. Yeah. And I remember, I go there, I have a 3 jacket. The mechanic, nothing. The shirt, everything was, everybody was
shorts.
Pink.
Shorts. Yeah, short.
Pink like, cold. Maybe it was 3-4 degrees or zero, but it was blowing 30 knots of wind. I was in the corner before arriving the straight. When Michael arrived, boom, boom, boom. I remember Pat Simmons telling me, this one is not the one super special guy. I'm okay, guys. And now we have a super special guy and we start working together. And we have Fisichella with him. Fisichella, for me, if I need to choose between Fisichella and Button, I choose Fisichella to go and take Fernando with Batum. My contract with Batum expired with Fisichella, still have 2 years contract to go, you know. It was not that everybody because Italian, nothing to Italian, German, French. I want to win, you know. And for me, the best couple at the time was Fernando and Jensen. But it was impossible to, Fisichella want to stay. I have already the case with Schumacher. I don't want to go, you know, in all this, drama again.
Casino.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Because Fisichella, I take out Fisichella from Eddie.
Again?
Yeah, again.
That's why he wrote me an SMS, not so happy.
Eddie, you tell me. I pay, I don't remember how much I pay, because to put Fisichella in Jordan at the time, we pay a team, so 1.5 million to Eddie. But Fisichella was very good job. When I call back, he tell me, I don't give to you. So, what do you mean? We have the contract. I'm at the board of the company, was sitting last night together, we decide, what did they say? I call the lawyer, I sue you. What did they say? You mad or what? And then, this was already the problem, you know. And after 1 year, if you fire Fisichella, not the one drama, was Fernando and I win the car. And very quickly, with Renault, we won two championship, a driver championship, two constructor.
How do you, you're manager of Fernando also. How do you make that contract? You're manager of the team and manager of Fernando. And so, whatever contract you make, part of it comes back to you.
No.
How do you make that contract with Fernando?
No. I tell you something. To be clarified, when I decide to put the management company, was because I want to discover young driver to be the future of our team. Okay. So it's not question how much money you make, because when you take Fernando, I invest 1 million. I don't know if I have back or not. You know. For my team, I choose always the best driver was possible to choose. Michael, I choose Fernando, et cetera, et cetera. The price of Fernando was a market price. I mean, whatever Fisichella was making, Fernando had the same amount of Fisichella in the beginning. And after was a big scale of the bonus point. I never done a big salary to the driver. I done a basic salary and motivation salary, you know, many times you finish in the podium, many times you're doing this and that and that. And Fernando was collecting, and all the sponsor as well. I remember the discussion with Telefonica, with ING, you know, talk about, right? The base is 10. After winning the race, exposure, minutes, this and that. Everybody was motivating, you know? And, you know, when I have Fernando in the team, I pay Fernando much, much less, but McLaren paying double. So, I mean, my price was, my interest, because the people still don't understand, my interest what it was, have the management team to put the best driver is possible in my team. And have a GP2 to demonstrate who was the best driver, because GP2 was no, if you are rich or poor, everybody had the same condition to drive in the car. Because, you know, at the time was the sponsor, somebody had the Formula 3000, you never understand if the car was good, bad, the driver is good, bad. Formula GP2 at the time make everybody honest, you know, with the good driver, the best driver, etc. This was the reason why GP2 was part of the idea of the management team as well, no? To have everything there to understand was potential the driver to be a world champion.
Thank you for setting GP2 up. I won the first championship.
I know that. You know what? You won the championship. Lewis won the championship. You were champion. Lewis was champion. I mean, the idea was good.
Very good. Obviously. Okay.
Yeah. And you won because you had the skill to winning. You know, won because your GP2 car was better and not the other one team. Yeah, the car was exactly the same. This is what I want to see in Formula One, no? The driver driving the car, not the engineering set up the car to the driver. Only this is the big difference.
Fernando's biggest strengths? Also comparing maybe to Michael a little bit, since you saw both?
I think so. The difference between the two is Fernando is less emotional. You know, you have a Spanish or a Germany. Normally you think someone is
opposite.
In the tough moment, you have tough moment, you know what I mean, no? When the difference is to winning or to losing the championship is really thin. I think so. Fernando is stronger. He's a little bit less mistake, put it this way, okay? We're talking about two super. When you won the championship, wherever you are super because you're beating the best driver in the world, okay? At the time, you're beating Lewis. Lewis is considered one of the best drivers in the world. You know, everybody, when you win a championship, you are world champion. You're not world champion because you're lucky. Lucky and lucky in 20 race is balance. You have the race lucky, the race unlucky. What you need thinking about is you need doing the endurance. You need winning the point. Is the point important? Not the podium. Is what is important is the point. This is the difference. Michael, in qualify, I believe was quicker, but in the race as well, it's two guys than the qualify race. You know, every lap is a qualify. Yeah. Whatever the computer tell you, normally the computer tell you 1.00, the driver 1.09, boom, boom. This is what make these two very, very special. I'm proud to have these two, you know, because for me, Formula One with two drivers like that, I never have Senna. At the time, this was the two best driver possible managing in Formula One.
So Fernando, a little bit better on the pressure, but the weakness maybe a little bit the team building side then, where Michael was so strong.
Fernando as well, you know, it's the very bad perception of Fernando. You know, Fernando put, like everybody put the mistake. The time Fernando was with me, was to ask anybody from Renault, zero problem. Him go to McLaren, a lot of problem. Because like everybody a different character. You know, you different from Lewis and I'm different from Ron Dennis. And different. If you're managing the world is very special. Management to take care of somebody. You need to take care. The people is not a robot. Not forget, your guys, you have always, all life driving car. You don't have any normal life like the people have. No, it's true. You arrive at 14, 15, driving car, go-kart, driving anything with the wheel, you know?
So we're not normal, huh?
You don't know.
We're different.
No, completely. Driving the car, you need to be mad. You know, driving the car, you're driving the way you're driving, you need to be mad. But this is... people need be... You need to understand really the... character, what the driver want, what is to make the driver always comfortable. To think about doing your job, we take care of the rest. You don't want to gossip, you don't want to confrontation, you don't want to the mechanic gossip about this car is better, the car is no better, the engineer is better. I was there to cut anything disturbing the driver, not only Fernando, another one driver. This is what he said. Quite well. I have zero problem with Fernando. I have zero problem with Michael, especially with the press. After everybody was difficult with Michael about the press, but nobody. I mean, this is your duty, this is the interview you need doing, this interview go. And with Fernando, the same. I have a super relationship. We still talking once a week now. But I never have zero problem. And when I see Christian Horner talking about Fernando dividing people, he's completely mad, honestly. I think so Christian is in Red Bull when happened between him and the driver. At the time of Mark Webber, no? I mean, I noticed Red Bull is the team managing perfectly the driver, for what I know. And Fernando is simple, at the time was young, simple, somebody you need take care and making condition. You know what the team is doing. You know the effort the team is putting to him. And basta. We never have any kind. He's motivating like Michael. You know, Fernando, we had a discussion. I remember in Brazil. Brazil, we had a discussion with Fernando. I know in Brazil, I was sure after 10, 15 laps, the circuit was dry. It was raining like hell, you know, Brazil, this and that and that. Michael was insisting to have the wet tire. I thought we put the stick to both driver.
And you decide that?
Yeah, I decide that. No, as Fernando did. Fernando sitting in the car, we talking the radio, and he's talking about what tire I have. So you have the stick. How many people have the stick? How many stick? Two. Who? You or your teammate? With the eyes like that, you know? And we won the race. And this was when we finish the race, it's Fernando, you know, you're too emotional. You talk about that, we're fighting for a championship. The car was no good at all. If you have a normal race, we finish 8-9. You know, nothing. We need to recover timing with the team. So, but for finish 9, it's better. We have 0 point. We take the risk. And we have a bingo. You know, it was laughing in the car after we see dry and everybody go in, you know, mew, mew, mew. It was along first. It was laughing in the car.
Really?
Yeah. No, but this, we have another situation with Fernando again. Was somebody with the engineering there? Not the briefing when you see somebody in the briefing thinking about something else, you know? And the reputation of Fernando really is wrong when the people believe it, because I talk about from my experience and in McLaren, you know, he was driving a disaster car for many years. But normally you want to be winning a race. And it's normal sometimes the driver I think so you as well, no? Sometimes you criticize the team and stuff like that. Happen, no? Because you have so much pressure in your job.
But Michael would never do that.
Eh? Michael never do that because it was a different timing as well. You know what I mean? The engine was plus or minus the same. You know, Formula One, you're right, Michael never doing that. But Michael, when we won the championship with Cosworth, and Michael tell me what we do in next year, but next year we do in Renault. And he tell me fantastic, because I know as well. And this was another one big drama. When we won the race we won the championship with Cosworth. I know Ford was not put the effort, the energy to Formula One. We win in, and this I swap immediately to Renault, because the engine Renault was, ma pour have Renault, and he buy DJ. Because Renault have the right only, you remember, but the Williams, and DJ, two team, and Williams, no way. Williams always never authorized Renault to serve the third, team. And I bought DJ. I tell Benetton to both DJ Benetton, tell me, no, we are not interested. If you want, you do it. So I do my doing for your guys, not doing for me. And I bought DJ and take away the engine Renault to Benetton, to Benetton. And I have the deal with Honda.
For DJ.
For DJ. We've done very well. We won the Grand Prix with Panis.
It's true.
You remember? True, yeah. We are lucky as well. Huh?
Yeah.
You remember this race?
Of course, of course.
No, I don't remember. This race, Jean was in front, Alessi, was Benetton.
Yeah.
I was there with Benetton, and this was Ducan Rouge with Ligier. Ross Brown tell me, the car is stopped in two laps. So what's fucking going on? Tell me, you know, the suspension. Suspension, see, the was a little, the suspension was inside of the chassis with the little stuff. It looked like it lost this two part.
Talking okay. About the Ligier?
No, talking about Benetton.
Ah, okay.
Because
Ross was, yeah, yeah, okay.
Ross was in Benetton. Yeah. He's not finishing the race. Panis was second. Hey, see, look at Rouge box. Was 5 laps to go. I walk in the stand of the Ligier, I forget take out. I go there, I talk about, what are you doing? Tell me, we are not sure if we have enough fuel to finish it. But if you clear, you sure you kill the guy. Take away this box, then go. And this is saving panics. This sometimes the engineering, you know what I mean? Yeah. The engineer is not in the normality. It's the fuel anyway. I talk about leaving out 3 laps, is doing 3 laps or 4 laps, or maybe not finishing, but we have all the television watching, you know, it was the moment they want to sell the team to Prost.
So it was quite a good moment. Everything super. Worked out, huh?
I remember we finished first, and David Coulthard, we finished second.
Yeah.
Was the first point from Mercedes in, and the night we have a dinner, we had the party together with David.
So another life lesson, if you, anyways, are not going to do a good result, then go for the bingo. No?
Absolutely.
Go for big or go home.
Absolutely, because winning, you need to take the risk. And when you take the risk, you have the possibility to win. If you're doing a bookkeeper, if you have the mind of the bookkeeper, you never win. You always competing, but you never win.
With Fernando's career, you're okay? Only two world championships for the talent that he had?
No, it's okay. We have amazing, honestly. We have amazing time. And in Spain was... I remember Barcelona, we won Barcelona. In the weekend, we sell 75,000 cap of the Fernando.
How much cash was that?
I don't know what that.
Well, but times 30, so...
No, 80,000.
2.2 million.
My teacher more of that because the Marca, you know, the newspaper of the in Spain, was put that as well in the plastic. And, you buy the newspaper, you have that as well. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was impressive to see. I see the king crying. He won the race, and everything was blue. You know, because we are lucky because the color of the car was blue, and the color of the Asturias was blue.
Yeah, yeah. Same color.
No, yeah. We are, you know why the car was blue?
No.
When we take over, Renault was in charge. Schwarzer, he tell me with the board, he tell me, I want to identify Renault. Yellow, black, Renault. Right. I have in my pocket the deal with MI7. No sign, but ready to go. I told his participants, I told me, Renault cost fortune. You know, you guys want to finance all the team like that? They go, oh, yeah, but the president. Okay, fine. What's the presentation? I was there to do the presentation. I told him, this is a dream car from Renault. I present a car, yellow, this and this and that and that and that. I talk about this dream cost under 50 million euro. So this is reality. I put the blue one. This deal cost 50 million, because under million. I like the blue. and everybody loved the blue. This, when we start to have the sponsor and to support better the team, because we are the finance for Renault, but really we have a lot of sponsor as well to be part of the finance deal in the team.
Moving on to Formula One now, what do you think they should do different? I've heard you say that it should be 5 GP2 style cars, everybody the same, and just focus on the drivers, pure driving, and just the gladiators fight it out, and that's the best way for entertainment. Can you elaborate on that? Like, what do you think F1 should do? Where is it going?
You know, maybe in Formula One they change the word. They need to call engineering championship. If you call it engineering championship, everything is perfect. You don't need change nothing, living like that. If you call driver championship, you need a change. I don't believe it as well to doing 20 races, you need to spend 600 million euro. Nobody understands. You're not a spectator. Formula One, unfortunately, the people made the decision, including me at the time, we never care about the supporter and the spectator, no? Which I always to help to suit the engineering, and we never try to suit the spectator. No? This is the difference between football and why everybody football, because football is very unpredictable, if you see. Formula One, you know, I believe if you have a fat GP2, okay, with the engine, maybe this engine we have now, you know, because it's part of the electric, maybe you need to put when you go in the pit lane completely electric, because now everything will be, if you take away electric power, green power, you're not, we need, this is the wave. You need to go with this wave. But, it made no sense for me, invest this kind of money to do it 20 races, you know, it's completely, and make more technology you have, less show you have from the driver. You know, when you balance the brake, you balance the... I believe the driver, you have a 20 button to when you talk in the radio, this and that. And after, everything doing this, after that, take it easy for the tire. I mean, you spend 600 million, and after that, you don't have tire to finish in the race. So, you know, easy, take it easy. But what do you mean, take it easy? When you have a driver, you need the gladiator, like we said, no? So in the end, it's all this situation when you have the commentator talking more tire and not performance of the engine, no? Or performance, not the engine, performance of the driver. mean, if it's a Formula One is a driver championship, I believe in it, the skill of the driver. Take 10 GP2, put the best 10 driver, you had an amazing race. This is what the people want to see. The people don't care how many million you spend to have the team. You know, people don't care. You know, the people want to see the gladiator. The people want to see the fight. The people want to see the, if you move a little bit the white line, you penalize. People want to see the race. I think it's too clinical now. It's too this, no. I don't believe is the right way to go. Honestly, I think so is you take away the fight between driver. Now everybody's correct. What happened is, oh, the team done very good job, a wonderful this and that. At the time, we have a lot of fight between driver, no? Because the driver at the time was older as well, 30, 28. Now you have the driver, we live in Arabian Formula One, young, too young. But I don't like the Formula One of today because Notizio is the formula for the driver.
So we need you to run the sport. Have you ever had interest to take over?
No. I don't want to. I say what the people feel it. You know, the people you're talking with people. The people feel it is too the technology takeover. And I tell you, I was for 10 years with Renault. It's not so much technology from Formula One go to the road car. It's much easier the road car and more technology the road car and not the Formula One. All this rubbish is, you know, when the people talk about technology, we never sell anything. You know, I was the seller. I want to sell everything I am, you know. But I promise you, whatever we discover in Formula One, already the road car already done 10 years early. You know, this, basically, the Formula One car is just a prototype and basta. This is what you have and nothing special, you know.
So you never tried to take the sport over?
No.
With investors or whatever?
I believe now Formula One is like that. I don't know what happened in 2020. We see. But sure, I need to change it a bit the direction for me. I need more. The race is very long. For me, the race is too long. I still believe the idea we have to have too much, 40 minutes each, 15 minutes in the middle, have an interview with the driver, and the driver is really upset. Something.
To get the emotions.
Yeah.
Huh?
The emotion. Yeah. And maybe you, the first four car, you put the quick one behind, and you give the point, you know, qualify point, racing point. I mean, you need more. You know, the refueling was more unpredictable already. You know, refueling was one. I was one of the, I want to stop the refueling. It was a mistake. I think it was a mistake. I think so refueling was something working in a different, in the strategy was, you played it a bit, you know. Now is everything is predictable. Now, you know, it's two cars, it's possible winning. Sometime happens something, it's maybe Red Bull, ma finito. It's a race between the two manufacturers we have in Formula One, finito. And sometime because Red Bull have a supercar, sometime is the space for Red Bull to win a race, but it's between Hamilton and another one guy from Vettel from Ferrari. This is what we have.
Vettel this year? What's going on?
I think so. You see, Mercedes win.
But Vettel?
Vettel second.
Why? What is he doing wrong?
I think so. Sebastian done a lot of mistakes. I think so. He's the big enemy himself, you know. When you have a car, I believe Ferrari in this moment is quicker and not Mercedes. The race. We need to explain to him 64 lap or 62 lap. It's not one lap race, you know. But I remember we had the experience with Fernando, no? When you win a championship, sometimes finish third is already bingo. You know, it's important you stay in the track, you know. You need the accident of the Monza is made no sense, honestly. You know the car is better, you see it start better than you, just brake, go behind, it's finito. You have 60 more laps to recovery. If you go out, you have a zero lap to recovery. You know, you start, sure, with the car you have, you finish a race fourth, third, because this car is respect the rest of the competition very quick. But when you want to win the championship, I think you are the master of that, because you done very well. You finish a lot of time second. You finish third. You finish second. Remember, we talked once in the phone as well, no? About that. The target is just put the point. You don't need winning every race if you want to win the championship. You know, you need the championship winning not by how many races you win, how many points you have. This you need to explain as well. That is not the, you know, the race, you know, it's the point. And the point is not the race. I mean, when you have a car competitive, you overtake somebody. If you know the guy has more points on you, it's the accident. The advantage is for your competitor. So and the team as well. I believe the team put a lot of mistakes in the last 3 or 4 races. You know, strategy difficult to understand because when you have a superiority in the car, you won the championship, and at the time you have Lewis was quicker at one point. You know, happened. Okay,
of course, with him it can happen sometimes.
Happen a lot of time with him, no? And you won the championship because you're managing. If you were fighting directly with him all the time, or at the fight, you were the loser at the time. And this is the, is what we tell always with Fernando, with the driver. When you want to win the championship, is the unbelievable job you need to do. Mentally destroy you, but you need believe it. You build up step by step. You know, questo to winning a race, take the risk. You take the risk, but you know just the level of the risk you need to take.
No going for bingo.
No go for bingo. The bingo, forget it. Bingo, you go in the sand, and the bingo is your competitor of bingo.
So Vettel too much is going for bingo, huh?
Yeah. So, no, look like he's winning the championship is winning race, you know, but it's not like that. Winning too much. And on the race, he go out because of sweat, was alone in front of me. If you lose in 3 or 4 opportunities like that, it's a 25 point throw away, you know, it's very difficult after, mentally, the one guy's coming stronger and stronger. I mean, I believe in the driver, what is, the stress you have is enormous. And, you are in the position, if you are in the position to keep the stress and, doing the job and not go out, because when you go out, it's the worst that's supposed to happen. And you know that.
Why do you think our stress is so big, looking at us?
You?
Yeah, why? From your point of view.
From my point of view, I think so. Your stress was so big because you're fighting.
Not just me, huh? Us drivers who are fighting for the championship.
Everybody. You're fighting always with somebody good. I mean, when you're fighting for the championship, you're not fighting for somebody. The level, maybe is your teammate sometimes, because if you have a better car respect to the one team, it's your teammate. This is the worst. Because you're living with the enemies, you know. You are in the motorhome, whatever you want to do, you see him, you know. And so. I think it's stressful because it's very, when you finish one race, you add the next one. You start thinking about the next one. The race, good or bad, you put in the, if it's bad, you're still in your mind. If it's good, you're still thinking about the next. I think so is stress because you compete with the best people in the world, and the line to be a championship or to be second, it's very thin. It's very, 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 very thin. And if you finish second, you know, the second is the first loser.
That's the fact.
This is the fact. So this is the stress, because when you finish second, nobody cares. But people want to see the winner. The winner, the line is very, really, really thin. And this, if you are strong, this is the difference. You have mentally the difference. And when you put a mistake like that, it's impossible to win it, because more mistake you put, more pressure you have. And when you put a mistake, you lose in point, you won't recover this point. To recover this point, to go for bingo, no way. You need, I remember with Fernando, we talking about, okay, this race, third. Because we understand some race, our car was not so competitive. Somebody take you, leave it go. Then you finish third. Third, we take this point, et cetera, et cetera. Three race to go, we finish third, four. And second, we win the championship. And finito.
That's how I did it with Lewis in the last 4 races.
Yeah.
I put on the board, second, and then in the last race, all I need to do is finish in the top 3.
Yeah. But like that.
Same approach.
But if you try, in your mind, to winning, change completely, you are concentrated to doing the point. Okay. Yep. If you talk about, okay, I go there to winning, forget it, it's wrong. After happen, you know, you won the race before, after Lewis is coming back, but you have in the bank enough point if you're smart. But if you go out 1 or 2 races, your championship is over. This is what it is about. It's very your guy, you have a lot of concentration, and this concentration is very hard to manage, you know, because it's very hard to manage. And so you're sleeping with that, you wake up with that.
And sometimes you don't sleep.
Sometimes because of that. When we won the championship in Adelaide with Michael, I remember we stayed in Sydney 2 days, you know, I managed to never talk about race. We go to the boat, we go to the restaurant around doing the exercise because we need to recover. We play tennis, we go play. I remember, we done everything. I tell my people, nobody, I want to talk about race with Michael. The word race, car, forbidden. We arrive in Adelaide, we're talking again. But this week we are here, we not talk about nothing about car, race, Demon Hill, zero. We ignore everybody, we go racing. When we arrive at Adelaide, we talk. If not, if you start talking every day, you build up, you know? You build up, you explode, you know? This normally would happen.
Yeah, of course. Moving on to business a little bit. Probably in F1, you're the guy who made most money after Bernie. You think that's the case?
I don't know if money maker.
More or less. Little baskets.
I had a little basket. A few. I think so. I done well, you know. I done well because I take the risk. I buy the team. I sell the team. I take the driver. I manage the driver. I think so. I done quite well.
What's the best deal? The one you're most excited about when you look back in Formula 1?
I think so. GP2. Because I created GP2 for nothing.
Really? Yeah. GP2?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Because GP2, no, now after everybody GP2, no, enough F2. But the idea to create this start for nothing. I talked with Renault. I asked the sponsorship for the team at the time was 3.5 million. That was really, really.
To create it?
Yeah.
3.5 million?
Yeah, yeah. We created everything with 3.5 million.
And you owned it 100%?
I owned 100%, yeah.
And you sold it to Liberty? No.
No, CBC.
To CBC.
I was unlucky. Liberty was not there yet. It's not a. Okay. I'm not a sell more.
You think from Liberty you could get more money?
Yeah. But it's not the quantity of the money you make. It's the pleasure to think about in 4 years, I create something, it's working a lot of money. Beside that.
It's like Agag. It's like Agag, who was my previous guest who created Formula E.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Agag, we are friends. I was one of the best men of Agag in the wedding.
Really?
The yeah, yeah.
No, I didn't know.
And Agag arrived in England for me. I give my house in Agag in UK. At the time, I was living in the country close to the team. And the Lando started working with us. He was in charge of the sponsor from Spain.
Alejandro, really?
Yeah, sure. Ah, okay. Sure. You remember I bought the TV right from Spain.
Yeah.
And nobody want to broadcast. I go see, but this was funny because I see Fernando was a massive guy. I think about next year the guy is exploding. I go to Spain. I talk with the chairman of Canale 5. Canale 5 is owned by Berlusconi. Berlusconi is a very good friend of mine. I tell Berlusconi to talk with the guy. I have something very special for him. I go there, and we talk about Alonso. The guy moves Alonso. Talk about his drive. Oh, in Spain, he's only motorbike. Oh. No, we don't broadcast Formula 1. I talk about, you talk with Mr. Berlusconi? Yeah, I talk with him, but, you know. Okay. But forget. I called Agag. So, what can we do with this Spain? Nobody wants it. Afterwards, Canal 3, Antenna 3, I told him, you know what? What we're doing, we need to find the money. I go to Renault Spain, to the chairman, I told him, you know what? I have this guy. You give me 3 million. This is the cost of the broadcast, basically. And we go to Antenna 3.
For free, yeah, almost.
For free? I give for free. And the guy wants to more for the car. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I give you the money to broadcast Formula 1. I give you the right to spend. And lucky, I done 1 year deal. The guy wants to do it 3 years, but no, let's do it 1 year deal. And after that, if it's not working, et cetera. Immediately, Fernando was blowing everybody. The guy from Channel 5 called me and told me, I don't talk with you anymore. Fucking idiot. I tell like that, you know, I don't talk with you anymore. Talk with Agag. I send Agag and Bruno Michel to negotiate. And this was our fantastic, because the price, I was, the price I was given to take. I want to sign 5 years deal with this guy. And the price we have the second year was bigger than all the 5 years together. Because him at this point, I understand, and Berlusconi called him, you see what happened to him. He wants to sign the deal immediately. And Alejandro was with us. Alejandro was with us all the time.
So that's like, again, seeing the niche opportunities in business planning ahead. Huh?
I mean, you have the best, you believe it, you are the best driver in one country like Spain, like Italy, the country of tifosi. No? I mean, sure is coming the hero immediately. Because, you know, like when the Japanese guys start winning tennis. You never see a Japanese winning tennis, no? And when the guy arrives in tennis, all the Japanese go crazy about the guy, you know what I mean? it's the same. Fernando was exactly the same. Everybody was crazy. If I go in Spain now, everybody stop me in the street, everybody tell me, thank you for what you done to our country. Because unbelievable what happened in Spain, you know, unbelievable. Fernando was not allowed to go to Spain. The moment he was landing in the airport, was 2,000-3,000 people arriving. I was mad. We put him in the trunk of the car when we go to the circuit. I was mad, completely.
One of the craziest things you saw in your time in Formula One that happened? Of other people, of Ron Dennis or whatever, something?
It is something crazy. I don't know if you remember in Hockenheim when we had the disqualify for Michael. Michael was disqualified, you remember, for the black flag.
In the race.
The black flag was completely, this was the prosecution of the Max Mosley.
You think Max Mosley was behind
100%,
that?
100%, because after he fired the race director, was the rule, quite simple. Whatever accident you have, after 15 minutes, it's like you go 200 kilometers in motorway, if the police stop you, give you the ticket, if the police don't stop you, go. So, whatever accident you have, you need 15 minutes to report to the steward. This was 40 minutes. And nobody see that because it was in the warm-up. You know, demo was breaking, this and that, but the warm-up, nobody see. We don't know for what. The race director is coming to us. He talked about, look, the timing. We signed. This is not fine. And after, Michael was disqualified. So, we need to choose the race we want to be disqualified. You know, two races we have it. He chose immediately Hockenheim because Hockenheim was this long straight. Our engine had no power at all at the time, respect everybody else. Let's choose this one because we finished 6-7. Was the revolution from the German. And everybody was hunting the mechanical Williams. The funny was, I had the mechanical Williams with our shirts, with Benetton shirts, because the people were mad. And we decided to race.
So all the mechanics of Williams put Benetton shirts?
To walk away because the German people were hunting the mechanical Williams because we're fighting with Williams at the time, no? It looked like this Williams at the time was close to Frank, to Max, because it was completely, what he done to us in this black flag was completely mad. Anyway. So this was quite funny. The big enemies help because in the end, when you see stuff like this, you help the people, no?
Yeah.
And Frank was landing by helicopter with the police. The security looked like it was a president of the America when arriving with the security. And man, it's plenty, you know.
But this is something that also from Bernie, that you care for your opposition, huh? In some ways, huh?
Always.
You don't, you care for the bigger picture, and that's very powerful.
Yeah, because, you know, if you think about this, the small picture, you still, all life has a small picture.
Now you have a huge hospitality business at the moment, restaurants, resorts, nightclubs. That's what takes most of your time?
Yeah. We developed the company in the last 5 years. Now we have about 1,000 employees.
1,000 employees?
Yeah. Monaco, if you see Monaco, you have 150 in Twiga.
Yeah.
We have about 80 in Cipriani. And we have about 30 in Cova. Already in Monaco and in Dubai, we are in London, we are in Forte dei Marmi, we are in Porto Cervo. It's complex business, very difficult if you want to do it at top level, but I like it because you're dealing with people every day, you know, your competition is there every day, you know, you go. We arrive in Dubai, we have already 62 brands. All the big brands is in Dubai. We arrive with billionaire in Dubai. We make an incredible success. Now with 3 years, we are always among the five top in Dubai. And this is the big challenge. You know, Formula One, when you compete with the best in the world, whatever business you are, and you compete, if you make bread, and you compete with all the bakery in the world, and the top bakery, you need to be good if you want to be in the first three in the world, you know, because we're talking about world, we're not talking about Monaco or Cuneo or Milano, no, we're talking about export the brand worldwide. And now our brand between the clothing and the clothing, I sold 51% to Philip Lane. He's doing super job, because much better than not me.
If he's one, and he's running it now for you?
Yeah, he's running completely. When I see something not good enough, I put somebody better than me. I know the ego guy I want to do him because et cetera, et cetera. No? If I feel that if something is somebody better, go ahead. I prefer to have 49% of a big company and not 100% of the small company. This is always in my idea. And now we develop the three or four brands. And we have from the pizza, called Crazy Pizza, to the fish, Crazy Fish, and Sumo Sang is the Japanese kitchen, and it's doing fantastic. You know, after the disco, is the billionaire, is the Twiga, and Cipriani. You know, we have a solid brand. We're doing very well. But again, my team is very small. I see our competition in other places. I go in the office and I don't understand what these people doing in the office. We are three people.
Three people, yeah, for 1,000 people,
yeah,
business.
With three people, three, four, maybe. And somebody in market. Think about six people. It's the same of Bernie, if you remember the old time. Many people was working for Bernie. If you go see Liberty office, I don't know what the people are doing, honestly. No, honestly, I know in my office what the people are doing. I am involved 100%. I know exactly what the people are doing. No.
Do you have to give shares to all those six people?
No, what you need is, you don't need the share, because the share is the risk, is the entrepreneur make the risk. What you need to give to these people is the bonus and the success fee, you know, because you want the people completely independent, to pay the mortgage, to pay the school for the children, to live in well, to have the car, take away all the family problems people have, no? And the share is, you know, because the share you don't sell, you know, you never have the cash from the share. I think so. If one day we sell, everybody have a big bonus.
A sale as well.
Yeah, sure. Because it's, if one day I sold 50% of my company, or 51, or 52, or 60, everybody was involved with us, surely we get the bonus. But if it's difficult to involve the people with the partnership, it's very complicated.
So it's interesting. You've always really worked a lot with bonuses in your life. With the sponsors, now in this business, everywhere.
You need to motivate people, you know. It's the meritocracy. But we done it. I done it the revolution in Renault. If some company really is... We build up the competition. If you want to compete, you need the motivation to compete. Why any stay in the office just at 10 o'clock with my colleague, go 6 o'clock, and the wife sit together, talk about, at what time do your husband arrive? 6 o'clock, or my at 10 o'clock. The guy arriving at 10 o'clock is because he want to do something more. And you need, this is what you call meritocracy, and you need give something more, simple as that. The guy doing the 7 hours, and he takes the salary of the 7 hours. The guy is working 14 hours, and he takes the salary, and he takes the bonus. Simple like that.
And your big skill is the art of delegating also, no?
Delegating.
Seeing talent, delegating.
Sure.
That's
delegating, but you need always open eyes. Eh? You're delegating, but you need a very short line, you know? Like a dog, you know? You don't need, you know, the dog crossing the road and maybe some car arriving and kill your dog. No, I delegating, I give a lot of that. But in the end, every morning I want to know whatever problem we have in any place. You know, I give 15 minutes, I know. What is important, you know, everything goes on in your company. If somebody is sick, if somebody not something bad or whatever. Some customer was not happy or some complaining or TripAdvisor put something wrong about this and that and that. The moment you know everything is after you delegate it, you fix the problem, they get an I fix the problem, I want to fix the problem. A, B, C, okay, go ahead. Normally, sometimes, no, it's wrong. You're doing it in this way. And my call is the call. It's not... I decide, you know, whatever I'm doing, I want to decide myself.
So every morning, big summary?
Every morning, yeah. By phone, with the 3-4 people working with me, one guy especially. We had the report every night, every day.
Every night?
Every night to everybody.
Detailed report.
And the comment to everything happened is that somebody in London complained about the sushi was not good like the time before, whatever. Immediately, conference call with the chef of the sushi.
And you were involved in the conference call?
Yeah, 80% of the time.
Really?
Yeah, no, might take 5 minutes. If you have somebody to put your timing, everything takes 5 minutes. In Renault as well, you know. Renault, I remember, when I arrived in Renault, before we sit into the meeting, 15 minutes. Everybody's shaking their hand. Oh, how are you? Like, you don't see these people for 20 years. People next office. You just, next floor.
So you stop this. No more saying hello.
No,
just
more
get
hello.
Straight to business.
That's it. You know, makes no sense. The time you spend, you go in the office reading the newspaper. I go in the office. I do in the office. If not, I stay home. But when you go there, losing time, how are you? This, that's fine.
I even did that with my PA. She's not allowed to ask me when she calls me how I am.
Yeah.
I just tell her, just assume I'm good, and if I'm not, I'll tell you.
Exactly.
Just don't ask me if I'm good anymore.
Absolutely. No, it's true. How are you
straight
today?
To the point.
Exactly.
I've stopped that with my assistant.
And every time you have a meeting, I give to the guy 15 minutes. You know, 15 minutes is a long time. Because if you don't put a limit, the people talking with you for 40 minutes, 50 minutes, they never stop. So with this, before the guy is meeting with you, he's concentrated, know exactly what he need to tell you in 15 minutes.
So you're unbelievably disciplined, yeah, with your timings and structure?
You need to do it because if not, your timing, what is more precious in life is the timing. You know, your timing going something that makes no sense, okay? And you're losing the concentration sometimes. When you had the meeting, 10 people, 15 people, I mean, it is in Formula One as well. I have coffee break every morning with engineering, 6 or 7, the top engineering, this and that. Tell me, in 2 minutes, I know exactly the car is good, the car is bad, the pieces is finishing, the design is finishing, this and that. I know everything happened there. 20 minutes, 30 minutes. After, I don't want to do the detail, but detail, you need to resolve the detail, not me. What I want to know is the picture of the company, what we do with the car. When we build in the car, we are in schedule. I have all the schedule, week one, day one, day two, day three, day four. The one that what happened, this and that, you know. But always a small group of people. When the general meeting we had all the engineering, I say they 3 minutes. I know interesting. Because these people talking about nothing. I need to stop talking about all this stuff. Now we're doing like that, finito. Because I know whatever decision happens, it's coming to my office anyway. So we had the meeting, me, Fernando, second driver, and all the engineering, and discussion 30 minutes. Guys, if take you 30 minutes at the computer, because this zero, zero, we go in the road. Maybe we had the accident in the first lap. Maybe it's raining. Maybe it's warm. Maybe it's cold. All this fucking, all this computer made no difference, you know? Let's talk with the driver. So Fernando, you more comfortable with the curse or without? You? Without. No curse. Allez. I left. If I stay there, the engineer talk with me that they want 20 minutes to convince me the curse was better. You know, finito.
This is a typical Formula One problem. The engineers forget that there is a human being who needs to drive the car.
Exactly.
Who needs
absolutely
confidence.
Absolutely.
I call.
After this engineer, I think we spent 3 hours talking about it. I talk about, you know, it's possible for you to spend 3 days, curse, no curse, finito. I tell the people, take away all this curse and tomorrow we race with our curse. Finito. And these people were talking under 20 minutes, 30 minutes, of under, I left. I see, it was Pat smoking a cigarette looking for me, no? No, but the engineering decision, I don't care. I care about the driver decision. If the people is more comfortable driving, what do you want to put in? What was the difference? 0-0-1 a lap? For what? And when we take somebody with the blue flag, what we lose in 2 seconds? And what? You don't race it by yourself. No, Jesus Christ, just throw away.
You're very very strong at executing, huh?
Man, do you need it?
Like Bernie, get the job done. Execute. Don't think too much.
You know, we're talking for hours for nothing. You know, pay the water you're drinking.
And just going back to the business, you have a restaurant here, Cipriani, yeah? No. In Monaco. You pay, I don't know, like 360,000 euros or something crazy in rent per year. No. You have 50 people working there. How can you make money with such a business? How is it possible? Where's the margin? Is it the drinks mainly where you get the money?
No, it's quite simple because the number is quite simple. You need to have the rent 6-7%. Okay, the labor under 22-23%, and the food cost 18-19%. If you have this number, it's working. Whatever the rent you have, depend on the turnover you're doing. I mean, if I had the rent of $100,000 a year, I'm doing a $300,000 sell, I'm going bankruptcy. If I pay more of that. In this amount, I pay €400,000 rent. I'm doing 8.99 million turnover. You know, the rent, what is 5%?
Yeah, nothing.
And the 50, no, Cipriani, I wish was 50. In winter, in summer, it's about 80 people. If the salary of the 80 people is in the range of 25%, 26%, you have 25 plus 5 is 30. The food cost is 18, 20. And take away 10% of the extra, the rest is profit.
Wow. That's
Monte Carlo is a good and bad example because Monte Carlo we pay very high salary, but we don't have any tax.
Yeah.
So Monte Carlo, the profit is higher, and not if you have the same turnover in another one place in the world.
And you prefer restaurant or nightclub?
The same. If you go to Twiga, it's the same. You know, the same people doing the Twiga is impressive because this was really my idea. You go there, you have Italian food or you have Japanese food. You have the DJ, you have the disco. You don't move. You stay there. Your wife, you want to Japanese, you want to pasta. We have a super menu Italian and Japanese. After 1 o'clock, you don't recognize the place. We take away the pillow, we take away the costume, we take away this, and we put the setup of the disco. And at 2 o'clock, you have 1,000 people in the disco. The people don't recognize. If you come in the disco and next day for lunch, for dinner, you don't recognize the place. But this is very good because with the same people, you do 3 events.
I'm a customer.
I know you're a customer.
I like your place.
No, your wife is a good customer. Yes, exactly. She had the birthday as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember everything.
And for those of you listening, so Twiga is this rooftop Monaco, the ultimate, most awesome place in the world. Huh?
No, Twiga is amazing. Really, really super. And we compete here. We have Jimmy's. We have other one. And we compete in nice way because I'm friends with Sammy. When we decide what kind of star we have during the season, we talk it together because I don't want to have the same day to different star, you know what I mean? Yeah. You need respect always the competition. And you need to talk with the competition.
Except if it's Ron Dennis, huh? Everybody else.
Except if it's Ron Dennis. Okay. But I have a good relationship with Marshall. With him, I have no problem. Ron Dennis, for me, was impossible to talk with him. Because he star the way I don't understand nothing and understand everything. We had the press conference in China. The first press conference, I was champion. Ron Dennis was talking with me about sponsor and this and that and delegate sponsor, big, da-da-da-da-da. When was my turn because of the last one, because I was champion, so I just want to tell you, this guy is finished behind us.
This is how you started?
Yeah.
I don't think you like that.
No. And Ron was very nervous because we had the best team, we had best, you know, Ron Dennis was the best setup, the best deal, you're the number one, the world. You guys, you know, Formula One, we just arrived in Formula One, your country is fantastic. I want just to tell you, Mr. Dennis is behind us. We are the world champion. He was third last year, you know. You don't like us all. I start like that.
Oh, jeez. One more, social media.
Yeah.
Yeah? I was a few years ago, suddenly, boom, I see Flavio massive on social media.
Yeah.
And it's not typical, yeah, for the people who are a bit of the last the generation before us, to suddenly take on social media full attack. But I thought that's so smart because you just accept, and this is the new time, and you try and understand, you go for it.
You know, you need to modify yourself all the time. You know, see in the way the world is going, and you need to follow. If it is about to criticize, you go nowhere. You know, the people, this is not good. No, it's not true, because now the world has changed. You know, now the people buy 50% online. Maybe in 10 years buy 100% online. Before was the shop. These people, I don't have the newspaper anymore. Everything is in the iPad. I have Instagram. I have 500,000 followers. Because it's fantastic to advertising. You know what? If you're looking for something specific, like a waiter, a chef, I go in my Instagram. We have a 350 CV arriving in the
really?
Office. Absolutely.
No,
I'm using all the time. We're looking, when we open Cova, I'm looking for somebody living in Bordighera, living in Ventimiglia, a chef, a pasticcerie, to make sure to arrive in the morning or in the night. We done that in the newspaper or the, I think it was La Stampa Liguria or Secolo di Genova, I don't know. We have about 22 people reply to us. We found about 300 people reply to us between Mentone to Ventimiglia, Sanremo, et cetera, et cetera. And we hired 2 people from my Instagram.
Your personal Instagram?
Yeah, my personal Instagram.
Amazing, huh?
Because I put the name of the person inside, send the CV, et cetera, et cetera. You have a lot, 80% is bullshit in this media because a lot of people have nothing to do just to apply. But we used to see the CV, we know if the CV is fake or the CV is good. But social media, if you're using well, every restaurant we have somebody filming every night and putting the social media every night. If you go see Twiga, you see Dubai, you see London, you follow us, and the filming is amazing. So we done with a super guy, young kids. In Monaco, we have one is doing Cipriani and Twiga. If you go Twiga Monaco, you see the show, you see their menu, you see this and that and that. This is what you need them now. You need them. I'm not against, you know, I'm not the new generation, but this was fighting with Bernie about that all the time, you know, because Bernie was not, this is not possible. I mean,
don't get immediate cash, so it's not.
No, because they tell me, rubbish, you know, bring me any money. Yeah, man, you building something for the brand, you know, this is what you're doing. And the billionaire, Philip Lane, you see, is very active in the media, you know, maybe too much. But I believe it is important.
But what about also the importance of your personal brand for your business, which you can also push with social media?
But this is fundamental. If I tell you, if I am in London and I put in Instagram in London, okay, tonight, Twiga, Somosa, London, blah, 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 in 5 minutes, the telephone, start ringing. It's unbelievable. You know, you need using in the right way. You know, for this, I am there. I have fun. And more than a fan, you know a lot of people. You see what the people do, you know, you see, I don't follow so many people, I follow 150, 200 people, but always the people teach me something when I follow. No, I don't follow the gossip or stuff like that. You need, and I'm happy.
Moving on to something personal, what is it that gives you so much power to push in life? What is it that you're, Bernie was saying that he loves making deals. That's for him the thrill. What is it for you? I mean, you're pushing like crazy all the time.
But for me, what I push him more is not making deal. Deal is a consequence. Is creating job for people, especially for the young people. No? Because if for the poor, it's very difficult creating job. You know what I mean? This is the reality. For the wealthy people, it's easy. Okay? You invest in money. You take the risk. And always I tell the rich people need, you know, people believe you are rich, you go in the beach all day doing what? I think so if you have the chance to be wealthy, to invest, you need investing to create a job because the problem of the future is this one, you know, in employment. And you see our people in Cipriani or our customer, you go, you see in the way the people operating, you know, the waiter and this and that, because the level of the people here is very high, young people, motivating. And in Monaco, in London, we are the best. You know, everybody tell your service is the best. I mean, for me, it's the motivation. We create 1,000 jobs in 5 years. And 1,000 jobs, not only 3 months a year, you know, 1,000 jobs. For this, we open Dubai, because Dubai, when it's season in Dubai, it's no season in Sardinia. And maybe this year, maybe we do something in Stad, because in Stad, maybe we want to keep the good people working.
So you move them? From Sardinia to Dubai?
Absolutely. Cool. From Forte dei Marmi to London. From Forte dei Marmi, Sardinia we are under 50 people in summer. In Forte dei Marmi we are under 50 people, you know, cool. In Twiga. I'm not sure. We have one guy doing only the logistics. Only the logistics. Talk about, okay, this guy, the chef, he's moving everything, you know, because he's, when you open, after you're doing training, you know, is the training we do in Monaco, we do in London, we do in Dubai. Depend when you the opening. Say the opening is in the area of Dubai, we do in Dubai. Now we open two places in Saudi. We do the training in Dubai. If you do Saint-Estad, we do in Monaco. If in London, we do in London.
That's amazing, huh? So it's really you get the motivation and the pleasure from seeing that you're creating good for young people.
Oh, this is fantastic. I think it's fantastic. You have all one young. You remember the team Benetton, no? Was a young team, young engineering. And now I see this ex-young still there.
Fun. You've said it's really, really important, of course, to also have fun. Huh? Work hard, but have fun. How do you make sure there's a good balance, and what is the fun for you outside of work?
Well, for me, fun, you know, I have fun always in my place, if you see. You know, but I have fun is when you see the success of the place. It's fun.
But that's still work.
Yeah, but no, because the work is not, if you love what you do, it's no work. You know, it's I have a big difference between when I am in the office, when I am a client. You know, I know the difference between, and if I enjoy, fun, I enjoy my place. And a lot of time I go in my place because next day I know what is wrong. But I see because I have a good eyes. I'm not really concentrated. Fun, what do you mean? Fun is spend time with your family, now with my son, you know? This is the fun, you know? And fun is what you do is something you like it. For me, like it is work. Go back in, go to the office, creating cover. When everybody tell me Boulevard de Malin is dead, nobody go there. I was like, okay, fine. Eventually, I put one guy for 1 week before we decide to take the lease to count
cool.
to many people.
Okay, that's
we
cool.
doing all the time.
Cool.
To count to many people in the left side of Cova, depend on the sun, you know. The hour is sun in one side, the other one side. And after we decide to do it, Cova is very good success. It's one of the best cafeteria we have in Monaco, no? Like this. Every time you're doing something, you need thinking about, and you need creating the concept. Now we open a pizzeria in the port. It's called Crazy Pizza. 6 months we working for the concept. We want to make the pizza in one way. We want to add the pizzaiolo in one way. We want to make the salad. And this will be salad, pizza, and dessert. But we had the guy made the mozzarella in front of you, no? The guy from South Italy made the mozzarella fresh in front of you and making the mozzarella. This is the concept. And next, we put the ice cream, the Barbarac from Saint-Tropez. We put next.
Ours is better, huh? We have the ice cream in Ibiza.
Where?
In the old town. We have our own ice cream.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Gourmet, artisanal.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Right at the ramp to go up to the castle in Ibiza.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we have business. We have 11 people working there.
Well, great.
Yeah.
But you make everything, no?
100% from zero, with a gourmet chef making it.
Okay.
Like, we done
Barbarac because everybody in Monaco know Barbarac because you go to...
Of course.
You know, when the people like know the brand is much easier. Plus, the guy is a friend of mine. I give him one part. You have pizza, salad. The guy made the buffalo mozzarella in front of you. And basta, I mean, a dessert. I mean, no roast beef, no nothing. Just music, DJ, like in every place we have the DJ, basta.
And your son, how has it changed your life?
Completely. Like your daughter, you know. You're living for that, you know. In the end, you see how important is. Everything else is much less important than what is your son. It's more important than the daughter, the son, and not the wife, this is sure.
More important than the wife.
Yeah. It's nice. You... No, mean the son is for life. The wife you never know.
Wife is not for life.
No.
The wife is changed.
It's like for my, I change. But the son is for forever. You know, mean it is to change you completely.
When the wife gets too annoying, change. Huh?
Change.
Take a new one.
No. You need to be careful as well because I separated with my wife 1 year ago. But we done super job with my son. We working every day to make sure he have no drama, no. It's very solid, very strong.
That's the most important. No?
Absolutely.
And finally, you also had a you had a big illness also some time ago with was it kidney cancer?
Yeah.
How did that? How was
No, kidney, reni. Reno.
Kidney, I think.
No, no, kidney, fegato.
No, quite a liver.
Liver, sure.
Kidney.
Yeah, kidney. Yeah, kidney. That's right.
How did that impact you? Like, was it extreme or?
Yeah, but you know, this I've done the campaign in Italy for prevention. This I done it because I was every year in the Mayo Clinic. You know, remember when we racing Indianapolis?
Yeah, and you went every year.
Every year. If you had your picture, and the year before, these people put in the computer the two pictures together. Basically, if I had the check in Rome, whatever clinic, nobody see I have a cancer.
No way.
Because they're very encapsulate, very, very small. You see only if you put the one picture to top to another one. You see if something was moving. And I remember I was in the mayor, and everything was perfect. I go in the plane to go to Indianapolis. The telephone ring in the plane. Nobody had my number in the plane. It was only my PA. I called, tell me, Dr. Ace, tell to come back because you have a cancer. I go back, and next day I have the surgery. And this was fantastic because I never done any chemo, nothing, because it was encapsulated. If I wait another 3 weeks, was history.
3 weeks.
3 weeks, 3-4 weeks.
Bah.
It's like a little coin, no? Inside the coin you have the cancer, no?
Yeah.
When it's open, spread in every place in the body. For this, I tell everybody listen to us, doing the checkup every year. And when you're over 60, twice a year, every 6 months. Because if you found that before, it's nothing. You know, every time you have somebody that has cancer, because never do the check. Never do the check. If you're doing the check properly, dedicate 3 days of the every year, 3-4 days, instead to go to ski 1 weekend or whatever, dedicating 3 days, have the checkup, I believe is fundamental.
Even at my age, 33
yeah,
already?
Yeah, sure, absolutely, because never, well, many people die at your age.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
I mean? You know, question, you have the cancer because you're over 50, nothing is happening.
But you said the problem is it's only the Mayo Clinic that is the best in the world that we're able to see.
But you have in Europe, now you have the machine in Europe as well.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Yeah. Plus, you know, I think so now you have the clinic in every place. But you need to do it. Absolutely. You take 2 days of your life. You see how many young people have the cancer and the people found it, you know, because if you found it, the cancer is nothing. You take away before it explodes. When it explodes, you need doing the chemo because the chemo will kill you. But it's fundamental. Fundamental. I tell my son that they check with the eyes, this and that as well.
Really?
Yeah.
And it changed your head in some way, this event, or not?
Yeah, yeah. The moment I fly, the people tell me I had the cancer, and 2 days after the surgery, it should change. Because when you are in the bed, you see money, nothing. At the time, I was single. I don't have a wife, I don't have children. But the health is the more important gift you have in life. Whatever money you have, Without that, you are miserable. Eh? This I know, and we never take care of that. You know, the more important stuff in our life, we never take care. Honestly, we never take care.
And because I see you running sometimes under my building, is that also as a result of the cancer?
No, sure. It's a result. Sure, it's a result of the over 60. You need. It's much difficult to lose weight, absolutely. Much easier to put weight. And so you need, I have a very young son. I want to at least keep another 15 years to go to make sure I understand if he's good enough to take care of the business or he's good enough to do something else, you know. Now he's 8. In 10 years, when he's 18, I think so I know how good he is or bad he is. And if he's good, he's good. Take over. If he's bad, he's not take over.
For now, what do you think?
Eh?
For now, what do you think?
I think it's good for takeover. I don't think so. I have a lot of stuff in Italy about that. I don't think so. I send my kids to the university. I want to just 18, you know, and after start working because I don't need a doctor or a lawyer. If I need a lawyer, I pay that bill to the lawyer. I need somebody to take care of the business. And because I know 20, I want to know. I think I was working 20 hours a day, you know what I mean? I think you need to understand. I want to understand if it's good to take over or not good, simple like that.
Last part. Then the most important thing for everybody listening, for all the men out there listening, the single men, What is the secret to having all the most amazing girls in the world? Is it only the good looks, or is there something else?
First, you know, you need looking for that. You know, because if you want to dating a good looking or bad looking, the time is the same. Sometimes the worst looking is more difficult. You know? No, I think so. You know what you mean. I don't know. I believe always when you're looking for somebody, looking for
aim for the bingo,
for the top, for the bingo, being somebody challenging you, somebody. If you're dealing with somebody important or good-looking or whatever, it's the challenge, you know. It's always. I believe the relationship is emotional. For this, for me, sometimes it's too short because at one point the emotional is gone. You're looking for new emotional. Now it's enough. Now I think so. Is I have all my effort is for my son, but. I have always fun in my life. I had no money. I told my family I had no money. I never complaining. I always working. And I was 13, 12. I was working summer to make sure I had some money to buy ice cream or buy whatever I want, shoes. Because my father would buy me the shoes always two number bigger, you know. Because they talk about, okay, because in 2 years, you know, when you're 10, 11, you're growing so quick. If I had 37, he buy me 39. I told Papa, I had 39. Yeah, my, it's good for 2 years, these shoes. Because if I buy 37, in 6 months, it's over, no? So I want to buy the shoes in, with the right number. This was one of my focus, and I worked all the time summer. 3 months of summer, I was working.
Which one was the prettiest girl you ever met?
Eh?
The prettiest girl that you ever met?
A lot, you know me.
Is there a number one? No.
I have a, I think so, Heidi Klum, German.
Of course. Okay.
Plus, it was fantastic with, I still very good friend with Heidi, still very good friend with Naomi. My wife is a beautiful woman, I still very good friend, we have a baby together. I have a, you know what, all my important relationship over 3 years or 2 years, you know, it means something important, not 2 days or 3 weeks. I'm a very good friend. Because we never had a fight, you know. My wife, we decided to separate because it looked like we after 12 years, the mystery was finished, you know. But because we had the son, we decided to live in the same town, to have a lunch at least once a week, or to have dinner every 2 weeks, or I go to the house of Elizabeth, or she's coming here, to make sure our decision have no influence in our son. I think so. This, when you respect that, after that, you know, the world is full of girls.
But children also difficult, huh, for a relationship?
No? Yeah. My children, you need to talk with the children like you're talking me and you together now. I hate when the people, nye, you know, because they rincoglionisci. I teach the children, I talk with business with my son all the time. When I decide to, when I talk with him, I decide to, Franco, people talk to university, just forget university. You go to Rosé, 14, 18, you find a liceo, you go to, and after that you can be working. Simple as that, you know. You don't need, if you be a doctor, or you be a lawyer, or be whatever, I don't need that, you know. I need somebody take over what I creating, and I don't need anybody special. I need somebody working.
But you're not putting too much pressure on him at the
no,
same time,
no? You know, if after him had the passion to study, no problem at all. If I see my son is somebody who want to be a mathematics, want to be a lawyer, no problem. But I see in school it's so easy.
So.
I don't see it's so determinate, you know. Being,
what about you in school? You were determined?
Like him, no. I done the minimum possible to pass, okay? I never want to be first in the class or the last. I want to be in the middle. If you are in the middle, nobody but you, because if in the top, the people is jealous, etc. Yeah. If you're lower, the professor drive you mad. If you're in the middle, is nobody want to be. In the middle, I think so, what's the right. My son, I think so, is like that. Maybe a little bit better.
All right. So thank you so much, Flavio, for the time.
Nico, it was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening as well, everybody. Please remember to subscribe, yeah, for some more cool episodes like that. The next one is with Felipe Massa, actually, the next episode. And yeah, that's it. Bye-bye.
The new driver from Formula E.
Exactly. The new Formula E driver.
Young driver.
The new young driver. The new generation.
Electric generation.
Exactly. What do you think about electric cars?
I don't like it. For me, the race is the noise, is the fight. No, I think so. It's connecting people very good. Electrically, Leandro Agag done an amazing job to connecting people. In Formula One, the people are disconnecting people. And Ivan done a super job. Well done.
Okay, bye-bye.